Almost every Southeast Asian nation is seeing an increase in censorship. Access to a number of websites has been blocked, signaling an overall shift away from internet freedom. A Freedom on the Net report only lists the Philippines of the 8 Southeast Asian nations in the survey in the mostly free column. With me to talk more about what's going on with internet freedom in Southeast Asia is freelance journalist Nithin Koka, and he's with me via Skype. Nithin, how universal is this internet censorship in the nations you looked at?
Well, you're definitely seeing it more in certain countries than others. But one of the reasons that I wrote that story, I was looking into this, is that I saw a lot of interconnections between the trends that are happening in different countries. It really started as just like something very basic, such as we want to block child pornography, which is what I saw in Indonesia, or we want to like block content from Islamic extremist groups, which is happening in several countries, something that people could agree on. But it seems to have morphed from that kind of more universal, maybe possibly more acceptable form of like blocking content to just giving governments too much power to really block anything that they feel is risky to their systems. So I definitely saw this trend, and I definitely saw the trend in the entire region. It was heading in the wrong direction, and I wanted to like write about the interconnections between that and look into how countries are learning from each other and how these trends are also connected to global trends that we're seeing all around the world.
Now, at this point, when it comes to the areas we're talking about, are the biggest censors of the internet generally looks like China and Vietnam? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Well, for Vietnam, the concern was like they're starting to copy tactics from China, and China's always been a global leader in censorship and blocking content. So that's not a surprise, but I guess the concern was seeing those extreme tactics that China's been using for years start to influence its neighboring countries was really worrisome. Because from Vietnam, you could see Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, a lot of these other countries start to adopt these tactics, you know, and some of them were examples where like just arresting people for posting things on social media, such as Facebook, arresting and jailing bloggers, this pervasive monitoring of activists. Those are really things that haven't seen in China for many, many years. But the fact that Vietnam is starting to do that was what's really concerning.
How does this manifest itself? Is this something that is so obvious, or does it take a reporter to dig to really realize that this is censorship?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of the information I was getting from like local reporting groups, local groups, human rights groups, journalist groups that are kind of monitoring this, but it's really challenging, and it's getting more challenging because the technology is getting more sophisticated. I would say probably like several years ago, it was pretty obvious when one website got blocked because everyone would notice, or one social network got blocked. In Indonesia, Reddit got blocked, I think 4 years ago, and it was very obvious like, oh, they're blocking Reddit because they're worried about spread of pornography or other content on Reddit. But now you're seeing like a lot of, I would say, kind of uneven blocking. So in Indonesia, where I'm most familiar, you have like certain internet service providers that block content. And it's kind of unsure, are they blocking the content because the government's telling them to, or are they blocking the content because of issues around like net neutrality, where they want to promote their services or an alternative service, and they're blocking Netflix, for example, because they see it as a competitor and they don't want their users to have access to it.
When it comes to some of the countries where the censorship is on the increase or has just been consistently in effect, are citizens able to get around these laws? Do we know if citizens are really trying to? Obviously, there will be some trying that, but do they have the ability to do it? And are there aspects of concern about that? Because there could be a harder crackdown on people who do try to get around it.
Yeah, that really varies by country. So, I mean, I think we brought up the example of Vietnam. I think in Vietnam, it's a really risky if people are trying to get around this kind of blocks the government has put in, and especially if they try to share information that the government has deemed sensitive. That can lead to arrests, that can lead to people being thrown in jail or being charged with crimes. In places like Indonesia and Malaysia, or where there's not yet been that type of like hard hand government crackdown, I definitely know VPNs are very widely used. People who are educated or people who are journalists, I spoke with the Southeast Asia Press Association. They told me these blocks don't affect journalists so much because journalists know how to get around and get this information no matter what. The educated and people who understand technology can get around these blocks and these censorship kind of circumventions, but that's a very small segment of the population, and the vast majority of people in all these countries are just going to, you know, not go to those websites or not get that information at all. And I think that's where the real concern lies, is that this can have an impact on the general population, and in places where there's elections or there's other kind of big public events going on, such as in Thailand, we had the recent coronation of the king, and there's potential for elections this year, and there's a lot of censorship around those events. People really can not really have a good understanding of what's really going on in their society or their country, and that's the real concern.
Well, so of course, the inevitable phrase that many people have come to use and many people have come to hate is fake news. How does that impact countries where there is great censorship like this? Is there even more influence than we've even seen in this country in our elections, for example?
From what I saw, fake news is more often used as a excuse for more censorship, because the government will say, like, we need to have these tools to block fake news from spreading in our countries. And they actually sometimes they have good evidence for that. So in last year, I covered this in Indonesia. There was a governor's race in Jakarta, the capital, pitting a Christian minority governor against a Muslim majority candidate. An op candidate was running for his seat. And there was just huge amounts of fake news that was spread on social media and social networks that had a real influence on the election, much as what we saw here in the United States. And since then, you've seen Indonesia take the move to kind of try to clamp down on that, because they see that as a threat to the democracy, and then the ruling party sees that as a threat to their potential coal in the country. The real concern is, like, you know, maybe blocking certain fake news can be beneficial, but there's a lot of unintended side effects. Who defines fake news, for example? If the government's defining it, is it a third party defining it? What is fake news? It's really hard to draw a line, and there's a lot of places where it gets very fuzzy. And giving government that power to make that definition can often lead to governments blocking genuine investigative content that shines a bad light on some of their practices.
Nithin Koka is a freelance journalist who recently wrote about censorship in Southeast Asia for TheDiplomat.com.